Tessa and Juan joins us right now. She's got a really interesting book called Talk RX with a focus on sort of a new approach to healthcare for companies and individuals. Neha, glad to have you on. Glad to have you in our New York studio.
So glad to be here, Corey and Carol.
So talk to us about your book and what problem you're trying to solve here.
Well, as a clinician for more than 10 years, I started to realize that people were coming in for a physical ailment, and it would be their heart attack or their stroke or their pneumonia. I was a hospital physician at the time. And what I really found out was I would help them through a crisis, and then 2 years later, I'd see them back again for another heart attack, another stroke, some other ailment. And so I started to get the idea that I was actually just bridging them through a crisis. I wasn't helping them solve the root of their problem. And so research shows that 90 to 95% of disease is caused or exacerbated by stress. We all know that. We hear stress this, stress, oh, I'm so stressed out. And my question became, what's at the root of that stress? What's actually making them ill that when I help them through this, they show up here again?
So this requires kind of having a conversation with your patients. And I feel like in this world, and I'm now gravitating towards doctors that have the time to have a conversation with me. And if those who cannot and they're too busy, I'm kind of out of there. But it's hard in this world, right, where there isn't a lot of time often between patients and doctors.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a pressure cooker, actually.
And yeah. Technology. Of stress.
Yeah. Yeah. And technology. Doctors, by nature, we like stability and we like to kind of stay the course. We start somewhere and we're known to retire there. And so the change in technology brought in a big stress for us. And as we started to do that, the patient started to say, hey, we have less time with you and you're looking at your computer screen. You're not paying attention to me. So it was a double whammy. So I spent quite a bit of time with Kaiser on the West Coast and talking to other insurance companies about how to actually get doctors to be able to focus on their patients and be present and use the computers. And, you know, the funny thing I say, they say, we don't have time for that. And I say, oh, wow, your presence and your awareness doesn't require more time. It just requires that you're actually engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's short-term or long-term.
It's productive time used.
It's productive time. If you don't give it on the front end, you're going to spend a lot of time on the back end cleaning it up.
Interesting. Are you able to quantify that stuff? Do places like Kaiser kind of need that, or are they more forward thinking?
Do they need what? I'm sorry.
The quantification of you know, X amount of time spent on the front end relieves, you know, Y amount of time relieved on the back end.
So we have done a lot. I've done a lot of work with them, and we've quantified the changes in their metrics. So, for example, I've taken on their entire operating room team and their emergency department teams and shown them how morale increases, efficiency increases, turnover times in operating rooms decreases. You know, there's something like 50-plus things that need to happen by 22 departments to turn an operating room over in under 30 minutes. And when you invest and teach teams about communication and how to handle conflict, those times decrease and medical errors decrease, which we all know is huge, right? Someone operating on the wrong hip, operating, you know, leaving a sponge in. We can change all of those. And yes, they've been documented.
What would be your advice to, I'm thinking some of our audience who might be listening, who might be going to visit a doctor at some point. I mean, what's your advice to the patient in this process?
Well, that's a great question. So first of all, I would always bring someone with you because I found that in my office, people were the most afraid they've ever been in their life, if it was their own health or if it was their loved one's health. So some people are better when it's their own health. They feel tough and I can do this, but they're not at all able to handle their child, their spouse, right, whoever it is. So no matter what, go with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You need at least two people to hear what just happened and ask questions. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing I'd say is ask for a printout. Can you please print out what you just told me about the x-ray, my lab results? Always get it emailed to you or have a printout depending on what age you are and what you prefer.
Right.
Don't be bashful. When somebody tells you something like, you know, you're having a discomfort in your chest. Let's say you're having heart palpitations. One of the big problems that I teach doctors is please don't say to somebody, nothing's wrong with you. Because they would never have taken time off work or time out of their day and brought their loved one there and be sitting there if they
nothing's wrong.
If nothing was wrong. You know, that's I've never heard somebody say my favorite place to go would be the doctor, right? So I would say what I ask doctors to say is there's good news and bad news. The good news is your heart's doing really well. The EKG looks good. Let me explain to you your labs. Then I say the bad news is you're still having this discomfort in your chest. And what I teach doctors is there's when we don't address mental, emotional, social, sometimes spiritual events in our life, if they go unaddressed, they end up showing up physically in our bodies. And so what you say is the bad news is you're still having this discomfort. I'm wondering, is there something else going on in your life mm-hmm. that maybe you haven't addressed, that maybe having your body show up with these palpitations that's telling you something's wrong?
Right.
So it's these kinds of conversations. I'm trying to expand the thinking of the medical community.
Is it too late once a doctor's in practice and they've been at it for a long time to really coach them up on how to ask these questions, how to think about the whole person as opposed to the bum knee or the weak ticker?
The old dog, new trick.
Yes.
You know what I'll tell you? Doctors by nature are just amazing. Like, they really want to help their
Says
patients.
Says the doctor.
Yeah. Like, I really find that my colleagues really want to help people.
Yeah.
And so if there's a way that they feel stuck and they're not getting the results they want, they tend to be open to new ideas. Now, having said that, I will tell you, when I work with a group of 150 physicians, you know, there's always five of them that say, like, this is just, you know, what are you talking about? This is the way I learned it and this is the way it is. But I'd say, like, you know, 145 of them say, wow, there's something to this. And that's my job. My job is to get them to see that there might be something they didn't know they didn't know.
Well, I think in terms of... Go ahead, Corey.
I'm thinking of the Russian, the guy that that did my shoulder when I dislocated it. And you know, this guy was the expert that Kaiser brought in, and he didn't want to hear the first thing about me. He was just going to tell me how he was going to fix my shoulder, and he did.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
was his approach.
Yeah, because you're talking about orthopedics, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, orthopedics, you know, and some surgeons, they're mechanics of the body. And that's what they want to do. They love their time in the operating room, and they want to solve your problem. And I believe that the future of healthcare is really going to require an expansion of our thinking.
Yeah, to certainly get to the root of some of the problems that are out there, our healthcare problems. Interesting. Thank you so much. Dr. Neha Sangwan, she's physician, she's author, Talk RX, 5 Steps to Honest Conversations That Create Connection, Health, and Happiness. She's also founder and chief executive officer at Intuitive Intelligence in our Bloomberg 1130 studio in New York. Corey Johnson, Carol Masser, Bloomberg Radio.